Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. This is episode 288 of The Big Show, and thank you so much for tuning in. As ever, I genuinely appreciate it. I think we have a really, really cool show for you today. It's going to sound like it's going to start out in a negative place, and anybody who's listened to the show for any period of time knows I am not a negative guy. So trust me, it's going to end in an okay place, but it might seem a little dark at the outset. And the reason that it's going to seem a little dark at the outset is because new data came out related to COVID-19, related to the coronavirus, and its effects on the economy generally, and in particular on retail sales, on what's going on with retail sales. So this is from the United States Census Department, and as you might imagine, the numbers are atrocious. The numbers are really, really bad. Retail sales have cratered in the last 2 months. In March, retail sales fell 8.3% to $483.5 billion, which is a record decline. Or rather, it was until the April numbers came out, and retail sales were $404 billion, or a 16% decline, which isn't just a record. It doubled the record that had been set just a month earlier. So, I mean, these are horrible numbers. Like, there is no possible way to spin these and say, no, this is great. Like, these are genuinely, genuinely bad numbers. The kind that nobody has ever seen before. When people are saying the economy is, you know, in terrible shape right now, this is what they're talking about. Just an enormous drop in auto sales, general merchandise sales, apparel sales, you know, across the board. Really, really, really bad numbers. And, you know, it causes some concern now that we're halfway through May of what's May going to look like. And as I said a moment ago, you know, there's no possible way to spin this as good news, right? So I don't want you to take what I'm about to say and think, okay, now I'm just trying to sugarcoat it, because I'm not. There is an interesting point in the census data, though, that I think is worth noting, which is that non-store retailers, which is, you know, folks selling things online, are up 21.6%, which is phenomenal growth. Clearly not enough to offset these terrible, terrible losses. Actually, if you don't consider what these added to sales, the actual numbers would be worse than what we're seeing right now. And it points to the fact that when you get right down to it, we live online now. That's the new reality. That's the world in which we live. And the categories that are struggling because people don't want to go outside. You know, if you think about travel, if you think about apparel, you know, you don't have to get dressed up all pretty if you're never going to leave your house. You don't have to travel because you can't without fear of getting sick. And we simply live in a world where now, at least for the time being, we live online. And what's interesting there is how much that's going to be the new norm as we go forward. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that when people can go outside, when people can leave their houses, that they're going to choose to remain sequestered, that they're going to choose to remain inside. They won't. They absolutely will get back out and travel. They absolutely will, you know, put on a pair of pants, right? What I am saying is that there are a lot of behaviors being shaped right now that are likely to persist, that people are beginning to discover that the things that they are doing online, they can do online all the time. There's some fascinating research, a consumer sentiment study from McKinsey that talks to people about, you know, what they expect to do. And I want to be really clear. You've heard me say this many, many times on this show, that what people say they'll do and what people actually do aren't always the same thing. So I expect that some of the things people say they expect to do and what they will actually do will diverge to some degree once they can actually go outside, once they can actually return to stores. What I find fascinating about this research, though, is the fact that many people are saying there's a number of things that they have no interest in going back to because they're finding the experience of shopping for it online or using digital more as part of their decision-making process to be superior to what they had before. And that is going to change behavior. You know, anything that you can do more readily, you're going to do. That's the thing that's going to change that's really worth noting. By the way, right now I'm talking primarily about B2C, but this is equally true in B2B. If I can do something more simply, more easily, more readily, faster, cheaper, better online, I'm going to. And that's the reality. Customers are learning right now that they can live their lives largely online. There are absolutely things they can't do online, but what you don't want to do is pretend that you're one of those things if you're not. And it is clear that there are going to be winners and losers, not just now, but as the economy starts to open up again and as people feel safe to leave their house and leave and go out into the world, the people who are creating great experiences now, and you know some of them, it's the Facebooks of the world, it's the Googles of the world, it's the Amazons of the world, it's the Apples of the world, those folks are putting themselves in a better position right now than others are. There are a number of categories that are getting crushed right now in terms of apparel, footwear, fitness and wellness, furnishings and appliances, jewelry, accessories, and the like, that customers are simply saying, I don't need at the moment, or I can't find a good experience for. The other thing that's really interesting is a surprising number of folks have said that they have switched brands and that they're willing to switch brands during this period, often because they either found a better price or they found a better product or they found a better experience. And that's creating a reality of customers learning, hey, I don't have to buy from the people I've always bought. So if you're in one of those categories that right now people are spending less on or doing less of, you're setting yourself up for trouble when things get better if they find a better way to do it now, right? The other thing is a lot of people in the study expect to make more purchases online after the recovery than before. And I believe wholeheartedly that isn't changing back. Let's be really clear. Some of them will absolutely go back to buying things offline that they bought offline because it's going to be a better experience. But anything that they can do faster, cheaper, better, easier online, and that they're learning right now they can do faster, cheaper, better, easier, they're going to. Of course, the people you see who are most optimistic about these changes are Gen Z and millennials. And I've talked before about why they're the future and why they're really the road to recovery as we go forward. And also people who have, you know, high net worth, which go figure. High income earners are always a win because, you know, they typically don't have the same problems during a recession or during an economic downturn that the rest of us do. It is great to see millennials, though, in that category because they've had so many economic problems over the course of their adult lives. Because remember, these are adults under 40. That it's great to see that they're, you know, can't wait to get back in the game from that perspective. So there's an easy way to lose this. You know, it's stick to the things you've always done. It's think that you're just going to get by on what you've done previously. It's ignoring the needs of younger consumers who, you know, this is the world they'd lived in to some degree prior to this. And now understand that they can do everything this way. But you need to think about how we can win, right? And first, you have to understand that all sales are influenced by digital. As I've said for a very long time, it's all e-commerce. And because of that, you have to fall back to the framework that I've talked about many times, where content is king, customer experience is queen, and data is the crown jewels. Right now, competitors of yours are taking a look at what customers are doing, and they're responding. You need to do the same. You need to address your customers' concerns and make sure that digital can address your customers' concerns directly. What are those concerns? Well, they're worried about the economy. They're worried about their health. They're worried about their family's health. They're worried about the impact on upcoming events, like, I don't know, their weddings or graduations or things like that, life events. And the single biggest concern, according to the McKinsey data, is that no one knows how long the situation will last. So anything that you can do to provide stability and flexibility to your customers, anything that you can do to help them feel reassured, not just by telling them that they should be reassured, but by demonstrating that, is going to be a win for you. You also have to recognize that they're comparing their experience with your digital presence against the best experiences they're having across digital channels everywhere. If you look where people spend more time, they're spending most of their time online with online streaming, with personal video chatting, with professional video conferencing, playing online games, quick serve restaurant delivery. And so that's what's setting the expectations. That's what's setting the norm for them of what a great online customer experience should look like. So whether it's Netflix with personalization and making recommendations, whether it's Uber Eats or Grubhub for ordering food online, whether it's Jackbox for the gaming experience, whether it's things like Zoom for its ease of use and stability and handling high volumes without lagging, all of those things are setting expectations about what a great digital experience should feel like. And even if you don't compete in those same services, anybody in your industry who creates a similar kind of experience is going to have a natural leg up. Obviously, it doesn't mean you have to put video chat in everything you do. It means it has to work as well as video chat does, or else they're going to look at what you're doing and say, well, why doesn't it just work like this? How many times have you sat in a meeting and had people in your company say, why can't it just work like Amazon? And the answer is because Amazon spends an enormous amount of time and money and energy to make it work the way that they do, right? So that's not easy. But you have to take steps to move towards that. You have to say, what are the elements that matter to our customers that we can borrow from or leverage or, you know, buy from some other service provider that enable us to give a similar kind of experience? Because the companies that manage to do that are the ones that are going to win. And that could be you. The reality is, we live online now. Your customers live online now. They're probably going to for the near future, and they're going to for a long time to come. So the question becomes, do you want to live online with them or let them work with other companies who will? Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But I want to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all past episodes by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 288. While you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to you every single week. You can also subscribe to Thinks Out Loud on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Overcast, or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. While you're there, I'd also really appreciate it if you could provide us a positive rating or review. Those help new listeners find us, helps them understand what the show is all about, and makes an enormous difference for the podcast. You can also find Things Out Loud on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. You can find me on Twitter using the Twitter handle at TCPeter. And of course, you can email me by sending an email to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. I'd also like to thank our sponsor. Things Out Loud is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment increases large enterprise B2B website conversion with easy-to-install software that automatically connects website visitors to the content they need to achieve their goals. Solo Segment does this with anonymous data and machine learning to ensure privacy compliance, address the needs of your anonymous visitors, and improve the efficiency of your marketing teams. You can learn more by visiting solosegment.com. Again, that's solosegment.com. With that, I want to say thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you listening. I know I say this every week, but I would not do this show if it weren't for you. I would not come up with a topic and come up with a script and sit down in my office for 20, 25 minutes and kind of talk to myself if it weren't for the fact that I knew you were listening at the end of it. It means so much to me to have you tune in, and I really appreciate it. With that, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you stay well, healthy, sane, and safe during all of this. And I will look forward to speak with you here on Things Out Loud next time. Until then, please be well, be safe, and as ever, take care, everybody.